Okay, we'll go to Vak Tapas, verse number 15. Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahitam Chayat Swadhyayabhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. So vak is speech. So what is tapas of the speech? Vangmaya tapa uchyate. Uchyate means is called, is said. What is vangmaya tapa? Anudvega karam vakyam. Vakyam means words or sentences. Udvega karam means one that create disturbance. That create disturbance in others. So, anudvega karam vakya means words that do not disturb others. So, words that do not disturb others is, that's number one. So, what I speak, A, should not disturb others. B, should be satyam, should be the truth. Should be priya, should be agreeable. So, should be pleasant. One is, it should not disturb others. It should be the truth. It should be pleasant. Sometimes they say the truth is unpleasant and we just blurt it out. You know, like somebody has a new dress, you know, and she likes it. And she's, how do I look? And you say, you know, in your mind, you say, this is ugly. So you can just be quiet, you know, say, okay, if you like it. But somebody will just say, I don't like it. It doesn't even suit you. Now that is truth. That is the truth. But that is not agreeable. That's not pleasant. You hurt her feelings because she just bought it. So be, when, if you cannot say anything good, just be silent. So, anudvegakaram vakyam, satyam, priya, agreeable, and hitam, and it should be beneficial. So, what I speak not only should be the truth, but should not disturb others, should be pleasant, and should not, and should be the, for that person's benefit. What is good for the person, I should speak. And then, what else is the Vangmaya tapa swadhyaya. Swadhyaya means self-study. Swadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. We'll see, we'll cover as many as we can today. And then if we are not able to, we'll continue next week. So as we said, speech is very powerful. You know, they say physical wound can heal. Suppose somebody, you know, you accidentally hit somebody or something and that person gets a bruise or gets a cut, that might heal in a few days. But if you have spoken something which is harsh or which is very, you know, rude or very, very painful, that wound sometimes stays for years. You know, 5 years ago you told me this and I have never forgotten. So speech is very powerful. So we have to be careful. That's why Krishna says, speak less, speak pleasant, speak what is good for the other person. Not only speech, but even unspoken, sometimes we can hurt somebody. Like you go to somebody's house and he says, oh, welcome, welcome. But from his body language, you can tell, you know, I'm not welcome. You know, this person didn't want. And sometimes, especially in relationships, you know, husband, wife and all, the unspoken is more important than the spoken, because how the person physically reacts, from their expression, from their eyes, from their... So speech can not only be spoken, but also can be unspoken. And you can even hurt somebody by not even speaking, but by expressions or by making certain, you know, things like that. So one has to be very careful that not only I should not hurt anybody with my speech, but even my expression should not. So that can only come when your mind is loving. When you have true love for that person, Then only, you not only your speech will be present, but even your unspoken gestures and all will be pleasant. So ultimately, everything comes down to the mind. Even though we are talking about body, we are talking about speech. Ultimately, it's at the mental level, when there is love, then there is automatically pleasant speech. So they say it should not disturb others. You know, it should not hurt others, like gossip. You know, you hear some gossip about somebody and before we know it, pick up the phone. Suna hai tumne? Say, ha ha. You know, everybody's, you know, this new gossip. And then before you verify whether it's true or not, you tell 2-3 other people, and then it spreads to the whole town. And was not true, like somebody will call a lady, you know what, I saw your husband, he was with another girl in the car, what was he doing? And she doesn't know. So right away she was, you know, very happily, peacefully cooking her food. Now her whole day is ruined because she's wondering, who was this girl, why was he in the car with her, what was he doing? And then he gets home, and then she's already angry with him, you know. And the poor guy, what have I done? He said, who was that in the car? He said, oh, that was my co-worker. She had lost her car keys. And so I just took her home to pick up the other set of keys because she couldn't drive home. So I just, her house was nearby. So I just drove her home. She brought the keys. It was a very simple thing, but you ruined that, you know, that lady's whole day by making this kind of accusation. So they say that when you have any gossip or when you have any such comment, first verify, you know. And even if it is, suppose you hear something, why even spread it? Why, you know, participate in all that gossip and mongering and all? Because it's not good. It's not. Is it good for the person about whom you're spreading all these, you know, things and all? So it's okay. Whatever that person is doing, you know, that's between him and the Lord. Why should I worry about it? Why should I get? But we love gossip. You know, they love to hear things about, you know, gossip about film stars, gossip about politicians, gossip about all these, you know, business people, and all these magazines, People Mag, that's the highest selling magazine. Why? Because they have gossip about all the, you know, people. So what it does is we waste a lot of energy. And that's why Krishna says satyam. Because when you tell a lie, then you waste so much energy. Because then you have to remember, now whom did I tell what lie, at what time, at what situation, under what. So different people you have told different lies at different times in different situations. Now you have to remember whom I told which, and when did I tell that. And then, you know, a year later somebody said, but you told me this, because you have even forgotten. You have told a lie to somebody and a month or two later, but that person remembers. So a lot of waste of mental energy happens in lying. So is it better to just tell the truth? Yeah, you may have some consequences, but you face it rather than continuing to lie. Then we say it should be pleasant. Speech should be sweet. It should, you know, we should speak sweetly to people, not with anger, not with violence, you know, because speech can be very violent. And as I said, it should be beneficial. And you should think about the other person's feelings, you know, before you criticize somebody. That's why they say, before you criticize anybody, walk a mile in his shoes. You know, that's the statement. Before you, let me see that person's perspective. Why that person is doing anything. Before you criticize somebody, walk a mile in his shoes. Somebody said, yeah, that's good. Because A, you'll be a mile away. And secondly, you have his shoes. So then you can criticize. But that's not the idea. The idea is that see the other's perspective. Before you criticize, why is this person doing how they are doing? But we don't do that because we have only our way. You know, it's my way or the highway. So walk in the other person's shoes and see what they are thinking about. Then they say avoid excessive speech. Because we find that, like, especially when you go to parties, you know, and Indians love parties. Every Friday and Saturday night, they have to have parties. And when you go to the party and you come back in the, and then next morning you think, what did I speak? 4 hours I was talking. And what are they doing? They're talking about Obama, or they're talking about Trump, or they're talking about politics, you know, Indian politics or local politics or mayor, or, you know, useless things. And when you look back and you say, 4 hours, how much I spoke unnecessarily. Or sometimes two friends will meet at a bus stop and they will talk for 2 hours. In the meantime, 5, 6, 7, 8 buses have gone. And afterwards, the talk has no substance. So they say talk. We're not saying that you should just become a Moni Baba and walk around like that and not talk to anybody. But talk what is useful and avoid excessive talking, you know, unnecessarily talking nonsensical things. So that's called anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chachat. So what I speak should be beneficial. And again, as we said, speech wastes a lot of energy. When you talk, like actually when I do this talk, I don't know how the Swamiji's give 3-4 lectures. It becomes tiring for me. You know, it's hard because you have to think and then you have to prepare. So it's very tiring. So speech wastes a lot of energy. So conserve that energy and use it for spiritual goodness. And then Sri Krishna says Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya has two meanings. Vimalji was just telling me, and I think that's one is Swadhyaya means studying myself. I get up in the morning and study. And they say the Gita is one that you can pick up every day. And what they say is that there are 700 verses in the Gita. You do 2 verses every morning or every night before you go to sleep. Pick up 2 verses, read them, and then during the day think about them. So 2 times 350 is 700. So within a year, you would have read the whole Bhagavad Gita. So studying the scriptures, and that's why I would encourage everybody to buy this. I know it, you know, it's $27, but if you look at it, everybody should have this because this is such a beautiful commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. $27. Now this Gita, we are going to, you know, we are on the 17th chapter. We're going to do the 18th chapter. Then we're going to start again first chapter. So for at least 10 more years, we'll be doing this Gita at least. So $27 is $2.70 a year. So it's a good investment. Or if you go for pizza, 2 people go for pizza, 2-3 people, you spend $27. You go to a movie and popcorn and so this is worth buying. I would encourage that's why I had it here. Everybody should have this. And you must read and before you come, because what I teach or what I discuss is based on Swami Chinmayananda's commentary and a few other commentaries. So I would encourage everybody to get this book. If you don't have the money today, take it. You can pay next week. We don't have a problem. You can just leave your child as a security. And so studying every day. Swadhyaya has 2 meanings. One, I said study. Swadhyaya, self-study, sit down and study. Other meaning of Swadhyaya is study of the self. Studying the self, the Lord within. So who am I? That is called Swadhyaya. Studying who am I? Why am I on this earth? What is my purpose? So that is the true Swadhyaya, where I go within, as we were talking about in meditation or in study, I sit down and read that who am I, what is my goal in life. So that is called Swadhyaya. If we have 5 minutes, I'll just give maybe Chandogya we won't do, but Rama example I'll give. It's such a beautiful example. When Ram was sent to the forest, you know that, right? His father called him because his stepmother wanted him to go to the forest for 14 years. And so he told him, you know, he was crying and he actually afterwards, you know, became unconscious. That's how sad he was. But he had to do it because he had promised his other wife, the stepmother. So now Ramchandraji gets told, he was supposed to be crowned the king next morning. And instead of becoming a king, he's told he has to go to the forest for 14 years. And forest doesn't mean that he's going to have a palace and servants. No, he has to live in a hut, you know, take care of his own food and needs and eat fruits and berries. Nothing, no servants. He was supposed to go alone, then his wife and brother went with him. So now Ramchandraji gets this news, right? That instead of becoming a king, you're going to go to the forest for 14 years, not even for a week or a month. You know, we go camping for a week, that's okay. But after a week, we want our home comforts. So what does he go and tell his mother, his own mother? Now he has to go tell her, right? I'm going to the forest tomorrow for 14 years. How will he break the news? So he tells his mother, Pita Deen Mohe Kanan Raju. In Tulsi Ramayana, it is very beautifully said. So what he said, that my father has given me the kingdom of the forest. I'm going to be king of the forest. That's the way he politely, you know, softly. He doesn't say out of anger, you know, my father has punished me and put me in the forest. No, he says he has made me king of the forest. So such a sweet way, you know, of saying the same thing. And inside his mind also, he was fine with it. He said, being a king, I would have had to deal with all these problems of the kingdom. I will be in the forest. I'll be with nature. There are so many Mahatmas, you know, who live in the forest. In those days, they all used to live. He said, I'll have satsang with the Mahatmas. I'll go. He was fine. He was fine. So that kind of speech, where even the worst of situation does not bring out anger in him, that is the beauty of that Ramchand. That's why we teach our children that these scriptures should bring out the best in you. So that's what is the beauty of speech. So that is called Vangmaya Tapa Uchyate. And next week we'll talk about mental. What is mental tapas? Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makasche Dukha Bhagave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om.